Welcome to Breaking the Underdog Curse with Dr. Don McDonald. This show is for vitalistic chiropractors that want to take their practice to a new level. Whether that is higher volume, less stress, more congruency, or just want to continually learn and evolve. Every Wednesday, I will be bringing you an interview that will provide you with either mindset or strategies that will help you overcome your underdog curse. Whether you're plateaued, afraid to fail, or stressed out due to overwhelm, this podcast will show you how others have overcome their challenges. Make sure to go to www.drdonmcdonald.com where you can sign up to get notifications when new shows are released and see previous ones you may have missed. I hope you enjoy the show and don't forget to crush the curse. Are you a people pleaser? I know I sure am. And when you mix that with being a chiropractor, it can create a lot of trauma. I know firsthand, it can wear away at your health, your relationships, and your practice. I term this the underdog curse, and I've spent the last 15 years coming up with a solution. My book, The Underdog Curse, was written to help others live a more authentic life. This is very challenging if you're externally influenced. When you take an externally influenced person and have them try to spread the message of chiropractic, it can be very challenging. If you'd like to get back to who you really are, regain your health, strengthen your relationships, and increase your worthiness, please visit Amazon.com and pick up your copy of The Underdog Curse today. Remember, if we take the time to nurture ourselves, we are much stronger at serving others. For chiropractic to thrive, we must have thriving chiropractors. So welcome, everybody, to our next episode of Breaking the Underdog Curse with Dr. Don McDonald. And today I got kind of a special guest that I met a couple of years ago. And the cool thing about this was when I met him, I actually met him in New Zealand. And the second time I met him, I knew he was writing a book. And then the second time I met him was in the Gold Coast in Australia. And he came up and gave me a copy of his book. And I'd always been wanting to write a book in the back of my mind. And then I saw this book right in front of me. And so it was one of the inspiring moments that really got me to write my book, The Underdog Curse. And he's a great chiropractor. He's been in practice for a while, has multiple clinics. He has a neurology diplomat. And there's not too many chiropractors in Australia that have that. And I'm really excited to bring to the call Dr. Wayne Todd.
Hey, Don. How you going?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Excellent here in Australia on a cold winter morning.
In a winter morning. And you're pretty close to... You're close to Melbourne, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we're about 3 hours from Melbourne.
Mm. 3 hours from Melbourne. Okay, that's perfect. Yeah, I got lots of my friends down in Australia. So I love Australians. So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about kind of how you got into chiropractic and what, you know, the Coles notes of your career up to this point?
I guess I've been fairly privileged, Don. I was adjusted first when I was about 6 years of age. And wow. I woke up with a wry neck one morning and couldn't straighten it. My dad took me to a local chiro and he adjusted me, and I stood up and went, wow, that feels better. I want to do that. So that was my moment. I have not wanted to do anything else since I was six. So it's just who I am, what I do. And that was my inspiring moment as a 6 year old.
Wow. That's pretty good. That's nice and easy when you can get it all figured out when you're six. I have patients that are like 70 that don't know what they want to do when they grow up.
That is very frustrating. I have lots of people that I know who are in that frustrated land. So I consider myself very privileged to never, ever have to wonder what my purpose is.
That is awesome. So then you went to school in Melbourne. Did you go to school?
That's right. Yeah, no, I grew up in New Zealand. So I did the high school there and then moved straight to Australia to study chiropractic in Melbourne and graduated and moved to the country and married another chiropractor and got... two kids who are chiropractors out of five, and so maybe some more to come, maybe another couple. So,
holy smokes. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Well, this podcast is a lot about mindset, of course. We talk about the underdog curse where people kind of get feeling like they're either an underdog or on the other aspect of it, they never want to be an underdog. So kind of they're always living out of the expectations of others. Through your career, have you had any examples where you've kind of suffered from that underdog curse a bit?
Can I confess and say not really?
Yeah, no, that's good.
That's why I consider myself privileged, and I acknowledge the whole gamut, and I just feel blessed every day. It's a a nice place to be. But I do acknowledge that there's people who have, you know, just really trying to push through those barriers and find your purpose, find your goal, find something you want to work towards. And if that's helping other people, then you'll sail.
That's awesome. Because I always say there's two ways to inspire people. One is just inspire them with the promise of finding your purpose. And then the other way is to like basically threaten them. And so I got all my big smart people that you're one of my big smart people in the profession that will kind of talk about the ramifications of not living your purpose. And what happens is if you end up not finding your purpose or just living your life out of obligation or being a chronic people pleaser, you know, maybe getting into that midlife crisis where all of a sudden you're at a place where you don't think you should have been, it fires off something called the stress response. And since the people won't be able to see this on the they won't be able to see this on the podcast, but I'm just pulling up Dr. Wayne Todd's book, and it's called SD Protocols. And I was wondering if you could share with our listeners kind of a little bit about what the stress response is and how it basically destroys your health.
Absolutely. It's really quite a simple concept. And the more you study it, the more you know about how the body works and all the different organ systems. And you start to look at the complexity. You would stand back and look at how complex it is. You realize it's actually really simple. Mm-hmm. The whole body works in a very simplistic fashion. And in our health world, people are running around chasing a diagnosis, chasing a label, chasing what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me. And when we start looking at what is the cause of most health problems, you keep going back. You can't go much further back than that primitive reflexic need of survival, that survival mechanism, that fight and flight mechanism that kicks in to keep us safe and keep us protected. And when we're under stress, that survival mechanism is activated.
Right.
So when that survival mechanism is activated, if you think about a gazelle in the jungle being chased by a cheetah, uh-huh. I think the fight and flight mechanism is fairly well switched on. So in that gazelle, do you think that gazelle is thinking about releasing an egg to fall pregnant? Not really.
No. Not the ideal environment.
No, the brain is not sending a signal to the ovary to release an egg. Do you think the gastrointestinal system is working well? No, the blood flow is shut down to the gut. It's all directed to the skeletal muscle so that gazelle can run. And so that's the same in our human life. When we're under stress, all our stress responses are switched on. So our fight and flight mechanism is switched on. Our gut is shut down. Our reproductive system is shut down. Our immune system is shut down. All of those things are suppressed when we're under stress. And, you know, stress is a word that's really commonly thrown around. What does stress mean? Well, really, stress has three different aspects: physical, chemical, or emotional. That's it. Three different aspects. And we think, you know, we're eating well. We're eating really, really healthy food. But, you know, are we looking at, people say, oh, no, I have a soy latte. I don't want to have milk because I know milk's not that great for me. So I have a soy latte. So, you know, most people don't know, but 99% of soy products around the world are genetically modified soy. And the genetically modified soy, it's genetically modified to tolerate Roundup. So it's sprayed with glyphosate three times during the growth of the crop to kill off competitive weeds and get maximum growth of that crop. So we're getting a huge amount of petrochemical products into our system, which is causing chemical stress. Mm-hmm. Then soy is high in phytoestrogen, plant-based estrogen, a hormone that most females don't need any more of and most males don't need any more of either. So, So we're eating healthy. Corn, most corn is genetically modified. And it's genetically modified so that when the caterpillars eat it, their intestine hemorrhages. So they don't have to spray corn anymore because the caterpillars that eat it die because their intestine hemorrhages. What does it do to it? Our gut doesn't help us at all. So we think we're eating healthy. That's a chemical stress. So we start planning our diet and working all of that and working really well. And then we've got physical stress. So that physical stress is at work and lifting and bending and ergonomics and computers, etc., and going to the gym and doing the wrong exercises. So we're putting physical load on our system. And then we clean that up and we think we're doing really, really well. So we're reducing the stress in those areas. And I know people who are doing so much great work, but they're still under stress. And then you find out they're in a shit relationship. You know, they hate their marriage. They hate their job with a passion. Or they're stressed. Or they don't know what their purpose is. And what should I be doing next week, next year, next month? I don't know. And I'm paralyzed by that indecision. So that stress is constantly there in that emotional perspective. Or in a... previously they witnessed a death or an accident, or they were molested and are constantly dwelling upon what those experiences of the past have created in their body. So that stress is there at an emotional level. So stress is physical, chemical, and emotional. It's all of them.
That's so crazy. And it's accumulated load, right? So the buildup.
Absolutely. It's a buildup of all of those things that kick in that then suppress all of our other good stuff in the body that that should work normally.
Yes. So you know, you have the average person who's out there and they're having maybe some challenges in their relationship. They haven't been working out a little bit. And is there, can you talk about the different levels of stress? Like, so, you know, you have you got a short-term stress, and then what happens to the body? What's the difference between a short-term stress and when it turns a little bit more chronic?
Well, short-term stress is, you know, you need to have that stress response so you can survive, so you can run, so you can actually get away from that environment. If you have a spouse that's chasing you with a knife, I think you should run. That would be a good idea. So that immediate stress response is pretty good, so it keeps you safe. But if that stays locked on, constantly locked on, then we get all those long-term ramifications. You know, I one of the best examples I like to use that exemplifies the connection of all of our systems is a condition that some of our listeners may know of, a thing called polycystic ovarian syndrome, and some may not. But let me just explain it really, really briefly. Polycystic ovarian syndrome is a syndrome that a lot of females can get. What happens is when the ovary does not release an egg, a cyst forms on the ovary. That's how a cyst forms. And that the ovary does not release an egg because it's not needing to fall pregnant at the time, that body. So the brain is not sending a signal to the pituitary gland to tell it to release hormones, to tell the ovary to release the egg. So an egg doesn't release, so then we actually get that cyst forms. The wall of the cyst generates excess amounts of testosterone and also estrogen. Testosterone is a hormone that females don't need a lot of, so they get increased facial hair, increased body hair, increased masculinizing features. Increased estrogen levels and also increased cortisol from the adrenal glands when they're under chronic stress, that inhibits the pancreas from secreting insulin. So they become insulin resistant, pre-diabetic, then diabetic. Increased body weight because they've got all this sugar circulating constantly. And they need sugar because they can run. So they can run from that line. So that's why that mechanism is actually occurring. And when you get increased estrogen levels, estrogen inhibits the thyroid from working. So then the metabolism slows. So they get cold, tired, difficulty losing weight. All of those issues come on purely because that sustained stress mechanism has actually kicked in. So they're under that constant stress, which creates that whole ramification. So people are running around chasing, oh, I've got diabetes, now I need to manage that. Look at this, but it's actually, if we keep going back, where did it start? We need to look for the cause, and that cause is typically stress, physical, chemical, and emotional. So that long-standing, constant emotional load creates that long-standing, significant systems flow-on effect in our body.
Yeah, and now you know what? It's crazy. When I was just doing some stats and research for my book, even just last year, the American Medical Association, they even said, which they catch on slower, they said 60% of all disease now is caused from chronic stress, and they're probably undershooting that quite a bit.
I would say definitely undershooting that. You know, some of the common symptoms that people might feel with chronic stress will be shoulder and neck muscle tightness, sensitivity to light and noise, headaches, migraines, light sleep. They're like, why would they be a light sleeper and a vivid dreamer? They're ready for attack, waiting. Their system's primed, they're waiting. So they, every little sound, what's that noise? Well, did you hear that? Someone's trying to break in. They can't sleep. They've got to have the room dark. So they're a light sleeper, vivid dreamer, anxiety or depression. Why would someone feel anxious if they're running from a lion, or their system thinks they're running from a lion? Everything's primed, waiting for attack, but attack never actually comes. But they're waiting, attack doesn't come. Waiting and attack doesn't come. Every cell is primed, then they become anxious. When people become anxious, they think they're going crazy. What the heck am I thinking like this for? Then they become depressed. So they go through those cycles of anxiety and depression, but it's actually physiological. It's going on in their body because they're primed, waiting for attack constantly. Their system is under stress, then they become anxious.
Awesome. Yes. Now, we get caught up in the cycle. So, you know, we got the listener out there and they say, hey, this is probably me. I'm totally suffering from stress. What would be the first step? Like, because again, they've kind of, I know a lot of people, a lot of my patients too, that I see in my practice there, they've been so stressed out, they don't know where to start, but they don't have that much effort and they get overwhelmed super easy. So what would you recommend for some like easy steps to get started besides chiropractic care?
Yeah, well, certainly that's an integral part of what that correction that needs to take place. Certainly there's some specific adjustments that a chiropractor can do that will really help to reduce that physical stress response. So that's really important. But you've also got to look at that chemical and that emotional side of that stress triangle as well. You can be getting adjusted till the cows come home, but if you've got a shitty diet, if you've got a leaky gut membrane, you've got inflammation in your system, you've got to work on that. If you've got a relationship that's not ideal and you're in that stress response, you've got to get a handle on that. So, you know, if we look at that emotional side of the triangle, if that's your biggest kicker, the biggest stress response mechanism that's going on, how do you handle that emotional side of the triangle? You could start with some simple meditation, some guided imagery. A fantastic app is called Smiling Mind. There's about 300 free meditations of that. Smiling Mind. Download it. It's awesome.
I'll even write that down. That's good. Smiling Mind.
And there's meditations for teenagers, for kids, for males, for females, for helping smarter food choices, helping you sleep better meditations, helping to have better relationship meditations. So you can start on that aspect. You might need to go and see a counselor or a psychologist and get rid of some of that past stuff that's gone on that's haunting you every single day. Put some strategies in place to actually improve your relationship rather than seeing the negative in that person that you're in that relationship every day. See the positive. Praise. You know, the one thing that that always sits in my mind is I have a lovely couple that I adjust who've been married for 45 years. They got married when they were both 18, and he was in the army. And to get married in the army, you had to have marriage counseling by the army priest. And the wife said he was an old 70-year-old Catholic army priest. When they walked into the counseling session, he said, "I have two things to say, one to you, one to you." And to the bloke, he pointed to him and he said, "Listen. That's all you have to do. Women want to be heard. Listen to her. Acknowledge her. That's all you have to do." Then he pointed to the woman and he said, "Praise him." "That's all men want. Good boy. Well done. You're doing a good job. Good boy."
You're like, "Yeah." Yeah.
And so then when I see couples who are in, you are having major strife, I'll often say to the wife, "Do you see the good things that he does?" "No, he's always doing this. He does the wrong thing." And like I say, just try a little game for me. Find one thing he's doing well and say, "Gee, I really love it when you do that. That's amazing. You're just doing such a great job." And watch what happens. And then what happens? He wants more of that. So he does more nice things. Then after a while, he becomes a nicer person. It's like it's not freaking rocket science. Sometimes it's a simple strategy that needs to be put in place that can make a difference. So you just might have to listen to that parroting on. "Oh, my God, she's going on." So acknowledge. Say, "Oh, yeah, that's a really good idea. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, you come up with some good ideas." And so then watch what happens. It's like, oh, people become nicer. So it's like working out some strategies, perhaps, that could be as simple as those 101 tools from an old Catholic priest.
That's awesome.
that may make a difference to that relationship situation. If you're thinking, "Oh, I don't know what I want to do. I want to be this person or get a degree or a qualification," then it's about making a start, going to your, if you have to go back to school, go and find out what you have to do. Go to night school, get that subject, pass this. Yeah, so it's putting those strategies into place. But they can be many and varied in some situations that can be really hard to get out of. So you might have a child that's got into a drug situation and then they've got kids and so you're stuck looking after these kids and you've got drugs involved and it's like all of it's out of your control.
Yeah.
How do you actually sort that out? How do you actually stop that from stressing you where you effectively have no control of that? So it's putting into place strategies that maybe it's putting up a brick wall between you and that situation so it doesn't impact you. But occasionally you can climb up a little ladder and have a look over the top of the wall and go, "Oh, shit. Yeah, I'm happy on my side of the wall." Yeah, yeah. So you don't let it impact you. So, it's a different strategies, particularly on that emotional side of the triangle. And then from a chemical side of the triangle, if we look at that, it's like cleaning up diet and removing pesticides and herbicides and reducing the stress on our system, working out what foods might be leaking through your digestive membrane. healing your gut lining, bone broths, and taking some good quality probiotics and getting that stress response reduced at a chemical level. So it's all, it's physical, chemical, and emotional. Yeah, taking a couple of supplements that would help with stress. Magnesium is amazing. Magnesium really, really helps support the adrenals. And when you're under stress, you deplete magnesium like it's going out of fashion. So for some people, man, they just sleep so much better and that helps. It's a Band-Aid. It's all Band-Aids until you actually remove and identify the main and primary stressors that are going on in your life.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier a couple of things about the soy. Is there some other examples of some common myths that people think that they're eating healthy or certain tips that they could do to kind of shift things a bit in their diet?
Yeah, pretty much. If it walks, you can eat it. If it's got a mother, you can eat it. If it grows on a tree or in the ground, you can eat it. If it comes in a packet, you can't eat it. And if on the label it's got multiple numbers, we probably shouldn't eat it.
Keep it back to the basics, hey?
It's not rocket science. It's not. And, you know, but then if we think, okay, we're eating fruit and veggies, we're eating well, but we need to find where is the source of those fruit and veggies, what has been done to those fruit and vegetables that we're actually consuming. Sometimes it becomes a bit of a minefield to work that out, but, you know, start with the basics, remove packaged and processed foods. Corn, as I said, not corn. One thing that I was going to say, that corn has the same genetic marker, if it's genetically modified corn, gene 21T, as does cotton. So cotton has, cotton used to have to be sprayed with organophosphates, which caused birth defects in the population around the area where cotton was grown. So the organophosphates have been stopped many years ago, but they use gene 21T. So all cotton is grown with genetically modified. So when the caterpillars eat it, their intestine hemorrhages and they die. And I thought initially, oh, well, that's okay, we only wear cotton. But the most prevalently used oil in the fast food industry around the world is cottonseed oil. So cottonseed oil is all our fast food is cooked in cottonseed oil that's grown with cotton that is gene 21T, which causes intestinal hemorrhages in the caterpillars that eat the cotton. So what does it do to us when we're eating fast food? So maybe, you know, reducing that fast food intake and helping our gut be a little bit healthier.
Yes.
Be a good start. Putting into place those strategies, helping to change our posture. Posture is really a really fantastic indicator of stress load. When someone's under stress, their shoulders will round forward and their head will drop forward. Our ear should sit over the top of our shoulder when we look at our body from the side. So if our head is forward, we have a fairly good indication that our system is under stress. So helping change your posture, particular adjustments that your chiropractor will make a big difference. There's also things that you can do at home to change your posture, lying on a half foam roller or a posture pole, just opening up that rib cage, taking the head back in the neutral posture line, doing that for 15 minutes a couple of times a day. While you're lying on that posture pole, put your earphones in and listen to some Smiling Mind meditation. You know, do it all at the same time. It's simple. And so people put little things like that into their daily routine and they can go, oh my God, I feel so much better. And all I've done is that. All I've done is help change my posture. All I've done is added some meditation. All I've done is getting specific adjustments. All I've done is change my diet. And it's little things. The more you do, the more dramatic results that individual will see in turning that stress response around. But it's taking a step. How do you eat an elephant? One bite out of his back left leg and then take another bite. Pretty soon you eat that elephant.
And I find too, you kind of get, I call it success momentum with my patients, because what happens is once they do a couple of those steps, they actually start to feel the benefits of those. And that kind of is almost like a little bit of a positive feedback loop, right? So I think for people who are really discouraged, to know that the first couple steps might seem hard, but it kind of starts to build momentum as you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But it's making that start. And making that start doesn't need to be on the emotional side of the triangle if you can't bear looking at that. You know, it could be the chemical and the physical. And once that starts to improve, you can have a better mindset as well that will help you more tackle those more difficult issues that might be going on.
That's awesome. And while you're here, why don't you talk a little bit about your book, SD Protocols? And kind of like what have you been doing that? You've been traveling around quite a bit and you're helping chiropractors implement this into their office.
Yes, absolutely. So the book was written for the general public to understand, Don. And my frustration in practice was seeing patients running around chasing this, you know, mysterious label. excuse me, just as an example, you know, a patient I've been seeing recently who has what, for all intents and purposes, looks like she's getting multiple sclerosis, a significant stressful situation for her to be in, with these random numbness and tingling and weird sensations in her body, which is all the hallmark signs of MS. And she's had all the tests done and MRIs and et cetera. And at this stage hasn't got that label of MS, but still got all those symptoms, which is created by inflammation that's going on within the nervous system. So she has inflammation in her system that's attacking those myelin sheaths and causing those symptoms. And so when I talked her through the whole process of stress and what that does and causes inflammation, and she goes, yeah, but what if I have MS? And it's like, well, no, MS is just the label that when the inflammation is built to a stage it's caused destruction, then you get that label. No, no, but what if I actually have MS? And because people think that MS is this monster, this thing that grabs them, and it's a something external, it's a thing. It's like, yeah. No, it's just a label. So my frustration was, you know, to get people to understand how their body works and how it's integrated and how it's such an amazing system that if we know how to tap into having an impact in it, we can turn things around, and we need not be the victims in our life. We can actually take control of what's going on in our health, and not only the health of ourselves, but our family, our communities, and the people around us. So the book was put together so that it's written for the general public to understand and try and make complex neurological issues and digestive issues seem actually quite simple. Which they are, and but I've written it in you know, there's cartoon caricatures and there's basic information there, but the book is referenced so that, you know, I've also been, you know, said, can you write another book for health professionals? When I was putting this book together, I said, no, we're going to do it in one book, not doing two. But now from this book, I run around and I teach at various universities around the world from the book to the undergraduates. And when I talk to other health professionals who have studied, who have done their neuroanatomy, their neurophysiology, they've forgotten it all. And so it's much easier to learn it in a basic format, and then if you want to get more complex, you can. So the book is in those basic forms, but it also has strategies of what to do to turn things around. So it's not about this is what it is. We've actually put the strategies and the tools to put into place for people to actually turn that stress response around. So that's what I've been doing, running around all over the place, training practitioners and how to help guide patients through that. So we've got getting a growing number of practitioners that we've trained, over 500 now around the place, a lot in Australia and some in the States and some in the UK and some in New Zealand. So we're slowly building momentum to get more people who are aware of the amazing capacity of our body if we know how to tap into minimizing that stress response.
That's awesome. Now, is this, I know down in Australia, I'm not sure, is this available like through Amazon or is it available on your website, or what if someone's...
Available on the website. So sdprotocol.com.au is the Australian site. If you're in the States, .com. If you're in the UK, .co.uk. But SD Protocol, if you just search SD Protocol, you can jump online, you can purchase straight off the website. You can also get ebooks as well, which are available on Amazon and iBooks and etc. So there is electronic books, and we've also got online. People want to know, you know, where can they get good quality magnesium? Where can they get good quality support for their adrenal system? Where can they get some red lenses that we get people to wear to help dampen that light input to the brain to calm that aspect of their stress wind up down? So, on the website, SD Protocol, you'll find any of those, that information, and you can get the books, as I said, online there, and then also electronic books too.
Well, that's awesome. Well, in closing, do you have any words of wisdom for the poor little underdogs out there, us underdogs out there that might be having a lot of stress? Any words of wisdom for us?
Words of wisdom is, you know, don't take life too seriously, because one day you're going to be dead, and it won't really matter. It really won't matter. You know, the stuff that we're concerned about today, when we're gone, it won't matter. And, you know, sometimes we look back at what we're worried about last month and doesn't matter. No, not really. So sometimes the things that we're stressed and concerned about, we just have to take it in our stride and go, you know what? Let's just move on. Let's just do what we need to do. There's no point in taking that stuff to bed with you every night and not sleeping and stressed. It's just make a proactive step. Do something. if it means pissing someone off, like as in like get out of my life, I don't need you, and you know, then make that change, and just no stress. It life's not supposed to be a constant state of turmoil. So do whatever we can to minimize that. And, you know, that may seem like a throwaway line, and I understand in some situations it's really hard for people to turn things around, but putting those steps in place. But really, you know, one day we'll be dead and it won't matter.
That's true. That's right. Like one day we'll be dead. So we got to live like we're alive, because you never know when your time is here, yeah. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So if that's a pearl of wisdom, I know lots of people have thrown that out there, so I'll just copy that. Yeah.
Well, but that's good, especially after we talked about today. So I think that's very helpful. So thank you, Dr. Wayne Todd, very much for being on the Breaking the Underdog Curse podcast. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Don. It's my pleasure to have been talking to you and to everyone out there today.
So I hope everybody got some good pearls of wisdom. That we had lots of stuff that we talked about today. I hope you can take some of that and implement it into your life and make some changes. And remember to get out there and crush the curse.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you receive value from this episode, please take some time to rate and review us on iTunes or your favorite place to listen to podcasts. If you know a fellow chiropractor that could benefit from this message, please share it with them. Because it's my goal to provide you with great content, please contact me if you have any questions at drdonmcdonald.com or find me on Facebook. I look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, Dr. Don out.